Turning your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Japanese, that would be Shito no Hataraki Yonsho, but we won't speak in Japanese tonight. I feel like I'm just back at home with the rain. In May, in Okinawa, Japan, early June, we have rainy season, and sometimes it'll rain 4 to 6 weeks. And we kind of get used to that. We have to deal with mold, and thankfully we don't have to deal with cockroaches because our house is a little bit up. But we sure appreciate this church. And thank you for that special music. I'm praying for all the young people that have graduated from high school and from college. And we're excited about God's next step for your life. Am I echoing? Okay. Acts chapter 4. I've entitled my message, A Stirred Up City. And I believe if the church is going to continue to do anything for Jesus Christ, individually, we must be stirred up. And one thing about the book of Acts is, the book of Acts is a book of action. Many things are happening. For example, there was the healing of a lame man in chapter 3, and then Peter preached his sermon. And things were really starting to happen there in the book of Acts. But any time that we preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the religious, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, they started to cause trouble. They thought that they got rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, things are just starting to begin. In Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, we see, number one, the perpetrators pinched, I've entitled this. The charge was that they taught the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, may I stand before Emmanuel Baptist Church tonight and say, I am guilty of the same charge. We serve a risen Savior. Now, if Jesus Christ is dead and He's in the grave, really, we have no hope. Turn real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 12 through 15, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Recently on Easter, for the first time in probably 15 years, Brother Brubaker, I have not served in an Easter service. Satchel and I were in friend's house in Hollywood, not California, Maryland. And our friend, he's a captain in the Marines. And he works on the president's helicopter. There's a huge, only about 10-15% are military, and about 75-80% are civilian. And we went to his church, and we had friends of ours, the Holdings. We were there in Okinawa, and the pastor said, Hey, Brother Matt, you want to come up and preach? And I said, it was Easter Sunday, or resurrection. I said, He is risen. And I just put my Bible down. And what a blessing, truth that it is, that we serve a risen Savior. What happened when they preached the resurrection? 5,000 people were saved. Now, only in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were saved. So when we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, then that is the message that can break down that Buddhism, Shintoism, Confucianism, ancestor worship. And we have seen that in Okinawa, Japan. Because the gospel has power. The gospel cannot be taken to the wrong country. The gospel, no matter what religious group is, when we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, it can break that down and change people by the power of His word. They boldly proclaim Christ to the religious. Acts chapter 4. Let's start in verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled," or literally controlled with the Holy Ghost, "said unto them, Ye rulers of the people, the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. But," it goes on to say, "be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and then he gets really, he goes after him, he says, "whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before the whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Verse 12, and this is a great verse. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh on the Father but by me." One door, one way. And people say, that's a really, really concise type of religion you believe. I'm not religious. I'm a born-again Christian because we believe that Christ died for all, and there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then it goes on, secondly, first we saw the perpetrators pinched, but secondly, we see the preachers pushed. What a wonderful testimony that their only knowledge was of Jesus, directly taught by him. Look at verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." When somebody looks at your life, Christian, tonight, or at work, your family possibly looks at your life, do they see Jesus Christ in your life? Now, I understand Christian in Antioch, the first church that sent out missionaries, but they were called Christians, little Christ. And when somebody looks at your life and looks at my life, do they see Jesus Christ? They ought to. Now, I'm not talking about perfection, because we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. But I'm talking about Christ-like things and principles and qualities in our own life. That's the goal for all the Christians, verse 13. But secondly, changed lives is a proof of the gospel. Look at verse 14. "And behold, in the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it." You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold," literally, "all things are becoming new." God changes us by illumination, the power of the Word of God. When we read God's Word, God will change us. He will change us. So change lives. We'll have a godly testimony. But thirdly, the bigwigs, or the religious, gave it their best shot. Look at verses 15 through 18. They go after them. They go after them. "But when they had commanded them to go aside to the council and confer it among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men?" So they're having this conversation. I'm not going to get into their conversation because there's better things in this chapter. But when you've been with Jesus, who cares? I mean, really, when people, it doesn't matter what they think about you. As far as they may say, you're some holy roller. No, I just love the Lord. I just want to serve him with my life. That is a great opportunity for the Christian. Look at verse 19. Well, we'll start in verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Sounds like the public school systems and the American government pretty much today. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God, hearkened unto you more than of God, judge ye." Verse 20, what a great verse this is. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So, as a Christian, we need to do right no matter who says not to. There's going to be people that tell you, you can't share your faith here. But if you're working and you have a good testimony at work, and they give you time off and you're on break or dinner or you have friends that you go and do some sports thing with their teenager, when you have a chance to share your faith with others, we must take every opportunity to tell people what Christ has done for our life. Secondly, we need to know what we know and stand for it. In verse 20, you need to stand on the promises of this book, because without this book and us standing on the Word of God, we will faint. We will faint. And God doesn't want us to faint. Number three, we have the prayer of power. And I love this portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 4, verses 23. I think it is, yeah. Verses 23 through 31. When we're in trouble, or when you're in trouble, these men, they went straight to prayer warriors in the church. Look at verse 22. For all the men were about 40 years old, of whom the miracle of the healing was showed. We're talking about the prayer for power. Secondly, what do they pray for? They prayed and gave praise to God, their Father. We ought to praise God on a daily basis. You can praise God out of your problems. God is worthy of your praise. God deserves our praise. We praise Him in music. We praise Him in song. We praise Him because of His Word. God deserves our praise. Do we praise Him enough? Do you praise God for salvation? Do you praise God for forgiveness? Do you praise God for your job, your wife, your family, this church? How much do we really praise God? Because you know what? If we're sitting here under the sound preaching of God's Word, it's not my word, it's God's Word, in a church, you're not being persecuted for your faith. You can hear the Word of God preached. No one's going to come through these doors like in China and throw you in jail like in North Korea, like that guy just got, he's facing the death penalty again. Another guy who went in North Korea in the northern part from China, and now they're talking about they're going to throw this guy in jail and pretty much possibly execute him. They said that before, but there's countries like the Sudan and North Korea and parts of the world that Christians are literally persecuted. We have a lot to praise God for. You have a building, you have air conditioning, you have lights, you have a home, you have food on your table. A lot to praise God for, folks. And I'll tell you, there in Kesanuma, when we went up into Japan, they lost houses and food and they had nothing. And then when you tell them, oh, God loves you, there's a God that loves you, they said, then why did all this happen if God loves me? You have to go and tell the people. They don't understand the concept of love or a God that loves. You have to teach them that. That's where we start. People ask me, where do you start? Where do you start? We start there, that God loves you. God created all this, and He loves you. And we teach them the concept of a God that loves, a God that loves. So we need to praise God, our Father. We need to praise to Jesus. Look at verse 27 through 28. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They were gathered together. So we need to praise Jesus. He's worthy of our praise. Then there's a prayer of the Spirit's power in verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And I preached a message recently in chapel and just kind of touched on this about if we don't have the controlling and filling of God's Holy Spirit, you will not have boldness to share your faith. You will be timid and you will not share your faith because we are not filled and controlled by God's Spirit. If you want to study, study the word bold and boldness in the New Testament. It will transform your life because there is a correlation between being filled or controlled by God's Spirit and having biblical boldness to share our faith. And it's when we're controlled by God's Spirit and sensitive to God's Spirit, then we will share our faith with others. The answer is the Spirit's fullness and boldness to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, I'll be done by 7:20, preacher. I'm going to make it, okay? Lastly, we're cutting a little bit here and there, but we're talking about being stirred up. And I'm not talking just like, you know, getting a revival meeting and you get stirred up for a couple weeks. I'm being talking about stirred up in your life on a daily basis for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, the perseverance of the people, verses 32 through 37, and then we'll be done. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were one heart, one soul, neither say any of them which ought to the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." This is a wonderful verse. "Of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Jesus used gracious words. Jesus met people where they were. We can learn a lot about how Christ spoke to people. He used gracious words. He's our example, and we must be the same. Note in this portion of Scripture, the chief in sacrifice, Barnabas, it goes on and says in verses 32 through 37, "Neither was there any among them," in verse 34, excuse me, "neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many were possessors of the lands and houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet for the distribution made unto every man according to his need." Verse 36. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed" whom? "Barnabas," which is being interpreted the son of consolation, "a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land," here it is, "he sold it and bought and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." That's important. Because here in this portion of Scripture, later on, no wonder how God can go in and take Paul and Barnabas, and they're the first missionaries out of that church at Antioch, sent out by that local church into missions. Why? Because Paul's sacrifice, he gave everything, he sold it, and gave it to the apostles for the work of God. He pretty much surrendered his life to the Lord. I remember so many times when I was in Bible college about Dr. Childs and Mrs. Childs. She would talk about we need to live a surrender life and an open hands life, and we need to give everything to God. Let me ask you something tonight. When's the last time God stirred your heart to do something great? Because the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wants to continue to use Emmanuel Baptist Church in your Jerusalem. This is your lighthouse right here. This church can grow and God can continue to bless this church if we continue to be stirred. The question is, do you need to be stirred tonight? Or when's the last time God stirred you by his word? So I said all that to say this. In conclusion, what is the wonderful lesson here for us in this chapter? Number one, let us always stand up for what is right. We need to do right. No matter what, we ought to do right. Secondly, we need to depend on the, excuse me, as missionaries, we need to depend on the prayers of God's people, especially when someone's in trouble or they're having a hard time. We have the privilege to pray for one another as Christians. And number three, we need to witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're stirred by God's Spirit, you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and God can do great things for you. The question again is, we must be stirred by God's Holy Spirit. Has God stirred your heart lately? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to be back here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, as we go into the invitation, the rest of the service tonight, graduation, I pray, Lord, that if you are speaking and working in individual hearts, may they come and make a decision for you, not for to be seen of man, but literally just to get right or to make a decision to do something more for the cause of Christ. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for their support. Thank you for their prayers. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.